Welcome to Victory Life Family Church. Those of you here in the room, those of you online, whenever you are, wherever you are, we say welcome. Praise be to God. It's good to be here with you all today. On your screen, on our website is vlfc.church. There you can find out more about us, find out all about our past messages, our sermon notes. Pastor Paula normally does all this, so I'm just trying to go through all of those things. But you can, again, access our sermons, the video, the audio, all of Pastor's notes there. You're watching, you can follow along right now. So print you out a copy, you know, pull them up on your computer, your iPad, your phone, however you want to do it. It's there for you. Preach it. Amen. It's there for you to study, follow along with. Also want to encourage you on our website. It's here at the first of the year, as I believe most of us know, but also we have, I've been writing a daily devotional. And it's been, you know, really what we've been teaching on the subject of faith. And we're going to continue to do that for the rest of this year. We're going to be sharing with you, you know, little tidbits every single day on the subject of faith. Because a lot of people don't know what faith is, or you have a lot of misnomers about faith. Oh, you know, you're one of them faith preachers. And again, their idea about faith is, well, you're just, you know, naming it and claiming it and blabbing it and grabbing it and this sort of thing. And they have this weird connotation as to what faith is, almost like it's like some type of incantation or who knows what. Again, over the years, we've just seen and heard a lot of what it is, but this comes straight out of your Bible. Amen. We believe in the Bible, Romans chapter 10, verse 8. This is the word of faith which we preach. And then Paul goes on to outline, what is the word of faith? It's the gospel. It's the good news. And again, when we see who God is, he is a faith being. Now, God is love, but everything that he does, he operates by faith. Again, we taught on this here recently, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. So when we're talking about the subject of faith, we're talking about God himself. We're talking about how the kingdom of God operates. We're just talking about, you know, up and down the line, you know, chapter and verse. And the Bible is full of it. You know, we go back in the book of Genesis, we see Abraham, God calls him the father of faith, right? Well, if he's the father of faith, well, who's the sons? He's speaking about you and I. Amen. And so again, we are to follow along in his footsteps. And what did God call faith? Abraham believed God. God spoke a word to him that you're going to be the father of many nations, when as yet he had no children. Sarah is barren. She's never been able to conceive. And now she's 92 and he's 99. And it said, God, Abraham believed what God told him and what God promised him. And he said, he believed that God was well able to perform his word. And for that reason, the Bible calls him, God calls him the father of faith. So when we're talking about faith, again, we're talking about your Bible cover to cover. It's about how to take a word from God, believe on the integrity of God's word, hold fast to it, to see it come to fruition in your life. Amen. Can you say glory to God? Hallelujah. So again, that daily devotional is with that in mind, you know, to break it down piece by piece. So I know we've been teaching on faith for months. You know, and in some way, shape, or form, we can't preach a message without some way coming at it from a perspective of faith, because that's what God asks of us. Again, if I'm going to come to the Word of God, I got to believe that this is God speaking to me. And if he said it, he wants me to know it. He wants me to understand it so that I can hold fast to that word, declare that word, and to see it come to pass, whether it be in my life, my family, my community, in my nation. That's what it's for. Hallelujah to Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. So again, that's there on the website. We post a link to it on Facebook every day. So if you're on Facebook, you can just go to there, to Victory Life Family Church. You can click on that link. It's there for you. But also I want to encourage you, we're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, so you can subscribe to our channels. You can like it. You can follow it. And what does that do for you? So every day when we're putting out videos and we're putting out the service and we're putting out these things, you can get a little, it'll bump up to the top of your list. Hey, there's a new something you want to see from the church today. So this is what that does for you. So just want to encourage you to subscribe, follow, like, and share with friends. Hey, man, this is good news. So I want to encourage you. I'm not a social media person, you know, and up until the church, I really just kind of, you know, Paula, that's why we have one Facebook account for Paula and I. She pretty much ran it. Hey, sweetie, you know, but it was just something. But when the church came, it's a tool. And so again, I want to use every available tool. I want to use every available voice to try to get the gospel out there. And there's a lot more. We want to be able to do, you know, TikTok and different things like that. It's a lot more time. And you know, we'll believe for those things to come. Amen. But that's what it's there for. Speaking of Pastor Paula and our new baby Alice, the newest member of the church, hallelujah to Jesus. As you may know, Paula and I are parents. Amen. For the first time, hallelujah to Jesus, we have a brand new baby Alice. She was born Thursday night at 5:48 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. For those of you following, she was 7 pounds, 5 ounces and 20 and a half inches, and just all beautiful. Yes. And so she is healthy. She is doing well. And her and mom are at home this morning. We got home Friday night and, just getting some things adjusted and, you know, all of that good stuff and up, you know, around the clock, you know, with the feedings and these sort of things. But it's doing well. Everybody's doing great. And we'll all be here next Sunday. Amen. But she'll be watching us later on this afternoon. Glory to God. So hi, Pastor Paula. Hi, Alice. We'll see you here after a while. Amen. But here on Sunday mornings, doors open at 9 o'clock. Pre-service prayer. Thank you, Mom, for leading pre-service prayer this morning, 9:20 to 9:40, an anointed time. We also have some coffee and come have some fellowship together. Praise God. Again, we were planning to resume our Wednesday service this Wednesday night, but we will not be having Wednesday service this Wednesday night. So Pastor Paula is, you know, she also works at Pathways, which is a pregnancy resource center here in town. So she has taken the week off for the most part from work. And so her and I are just going to be spending some time at home with Alice, getting adjusted to a whole new life, a whole new routine. And, you know, we've had, you know, packages coming and, you know, it's not just the new routine. We're learning how to do all of these things. And so it's a whole lot of fun, but it's great. So no Wednesday night service this week. We also, the church has its annual board meeting this Thursday night. So that's a big event for the church. So we'll be working for getting that accomplished as well. But again, next, also no Friday prayer this Friday. So normally Friday prayers at our house at 9 o'clock. Again, we're trying as much as we can to take the week off just to adjust to new life with Alice. And, but next Sunday, 9 o'clock, we'll be here. And then the Wednesday after that, we will look to resume our normal Wednesday night schedule. And we look forward to doing that soon and having another fellowship dinner. We need to get together and just have some fellowship. And amen. Soon. It's coming soon. Praise God. But, I want to also, share with us on, the chairs. So again, just all these little updates. We've been working so much throughout the week until baby came. We've been at it. So again, we have our new cameras up and running this morning, and so there's more of this on the way for us. So it's a lot to look forward to, and we're ready to live stream as soon as we're able to have a tech person who can come in and help us. We have a second camera to make available as well. So there's things that we're ready. Hey, man, we're ready. But as far as the chairs go, the order has been placed. We have placed a deposit on those chairs. And so these are our chairs, are stock chairs. However, they, due to popular demand, they are on back order and they're scheduled. Our chairs are ready to come out mid-March. So the middle of March is so basically about a month from now, 5 weeks from now is when they're scheduled to arrive, and arrangements have been made for, again, I'm going to go pick those up and, you know, and all that good stuff. And so we are on our way towards our faith project for those chairs. And so I know some have sown it. And thank you for those of you watching. We've been contacted just this week about, and actually the end of last week, a couple that were watching. They've never been here. Two different ones have never been step foot in this church, but they've been watching us. Hallelujah. And they heard about this and they wanted to sow a chair. And so thank you all, for those of you online as well watching, for sowing into the church. You're just as much a part. And hopefully one day we look forward to welcoming you here in person. Praise God. But we're on our way in that faith project. I made some more calls and we were looking between 40 and 42 chairs. So they said, no, we can put 40 in the trailer and we can just put two of them in inside your truck. I said, that'll be fine. And so we're going to have 42 beautiful chairs here in the sanctuary. Again, those chairs are $87 a piece. And so, again, as the Lord leads you, I just want to encourage you, you know, sow for a chair, one chair, two chairs, 10 chairs, whatever the Lord will put on your heart. And I had some things printed off. I don't have them for us this morning, but I'll have it next week. Amen. More that you can take home with you as we're believing for those. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, it's offering time. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I know you do, hard copy, soft copy, let's turn over here to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And this is Jesus. Red words. He says, give and it will. Now I have that underlined in my Bible. It will. It will. This is a guarantee from the head of the church. He says, give and it will. Other translations say it shall. So there doesn't leave any doubt about it. Jesus said, if you do number one, number two will come to pass. Period. He says, give and it will, or it shall be given to you. And here's how it's going to come. Good measure, pressed down. So imagine if you can imagine a bucket. And it's got, you know, maybe you've got some money in your bucket, but it's all, he says, I'm going to press it down. I'm going to press it down till it's cram packed. And then what's going to happen? It's going to be running over. Will it be put back into your bosom? He says, I'm going to see to it. This is what's going to happen. It's going to come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, we can look over in Hebrews chapter 3, and I'm not going to turn over there for time's sake, but he is the high priest. Jesus, his current role is to be the high priest over the church. Now, what was the job of the priest in the temple? Receive the tithes and the offerings. And he would in turn offer it up to God. And again, what's God doing with it? He says, I'm now administering the blessing, my word, back to you. He says, so when you bring this into the storehouse, into the church, the tithes, the offerings, he says, the high priest, our Lord, is the one who's actually receiving it. He says, here on earth, men receive those tithes. He says, but in heaven, I'm receiving them and I'm presenting it to the Father as a sweet smelling sacrifice. And then he's now administering the blessing back to you. Amen. Again, he's watching over his word to perform it. Praise God. So God the Father has his part. Jesus has his part. We have our part. Amen. And we will do it in faith. Amen. This is how it works. Every single time, without fail, it doesn't matter. We saw this in Isaac. I love this. There's a famine in the land. Nothing's growing. There's no crops. There's nothing. And yet Isaac says, you know, the blessing of the Lord is on me. So even though there's famine, God said so. So he sowed his seed and he received, the Bible says, 100-fold, or we would say today, a bumper crop. Nobody else has nothing. And yet he's sowing seed and receiving harvest where no one else is getting anything. Hallelujah to Jesus. Say, that's me. That's me. Praise be to God. So whatever the Lord would have you to do it. And again, you decide the measure. He says, now, whatever measure you want to use, that's the measure that's going to be measured back to you. So again, We see this also, the same principle in 2 Corinthians 9:6, God loves a cheerful giver. He says, don't give, or don't do this out of reluctance. So it would be better for you to give a dollar cheerfully than $10 reluctantly. So again, whatever you're going to do, don't do it out of obligation. I'm not paying off God, none of that. Whatever, you know, it's a condition of the heart. So again, if he puts it on your heart to sow a dollar, sow it and sow it with joy. Amen. And just have peace about that. Praise be to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, let's all say our offering confession together. Praise God. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you, produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Now, angels, go get our harvest. Bring it to us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, online, the information is on your screen. Here in the room, make checks payable to VLFC for Victory Life Family Church. On the offering envelope, there's a credit card given. Just fill that out if you need that. Sign the slip on the bottom, but you may go ahead and receive the offering. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Say, Jesus is Lord. Praise God. I'm excited for the word. Again, we've been sharing here on the subject of faith, and we didn't get through last week's notes, so I took those notes, and then I just kind of expanded on it a little bit more because I just can't help myself. I love to study the Word of God. I just love to, you know, take something on the surface. Oh, and that looks good. Well, let's just dig down a little deeper and a little bit deeper. And hey, this, you know, this connects to that and this connects to that. And let's just mine over here and mine over there. And we're just digging up deep treasures. And, you know, the scripture says deep calls unto deep. I want it all. You know, I just love to do that and enjoy that. Praise be to God. But we're going to be sharing here today. The title to today's message is called The Voice of the Redeemed, the Sound of Victory. Amen. So again, this is the voice of the redeemed, the sound of victory. No, the scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Praise God. Are you the redeemed? Yes. Praise be to God. We are the redeemed. And so the redeemed have a voice, and it is the voice of victory. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, we're going to go ahead and open in prayer, and we'll get right into today's message. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you have redeemed us through the blood of the Lamb, and we thank you, you have given us a voice, a triumphant voice, and Lord, we are shouting today and declaring, victory is mine, victory is mine. Oh, thanks be to God, victory is mine. And Lord, we receive by the help of Holy Spirit, you are unfolding that truth to us, revealing to us the victory that is ours in Christ, showing us how to walk it out by faith, to see it manifesting in us, for us, and through us. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, our opening, thank you, Lord. We want to open here today. And again, if you have your Bible, let's hold it up big together. This is my Bible, the living Word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, our opening text here today is found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us or transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And so we started unpacking this last week, and again, we saw that we have been translated. You know, we were born in darkness. You know, we had a past life, you know, perhaps depending on, you know, how your walk took you throughout your life, you know, but we were in darkness. You know, there was a time Pastor Rodney was not Pastor Rodney. He was out there in darkness. But God, I laid hold of the word. I found out about this good news. And when I confess Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior, the scripture says I have been transferred. This also means I have been conveyed, or I've been translated in a moment of time out of darkness. All of sin, all of its effects lost its hold on me. It was broken off of my life. And now I was transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God. Amen. Can you say Jesus is Lord? Praise be to God. I have a new Lord. I have a Savior, someone who rescued me from darkness. But he didn't, again, we looked at this. That word was to mean, it means to be snatched out. So again, I was fallen. I was headed over the edge. Jesus reached over into darkness. He snatched me out. He saved me. But he didn't just save me and leave me where I was. He says, no, I've saved you on purpose for my purpose. You're now in the kingdom of God. You're now a kingdom citizen. You are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High. You now live according to heaven's government. Yes, you're in the world, he said, but though you're in the world, you're not of the world. You are now just an ambassador to this world, right? We're called to be ambassadors of Christ. Hallelujah to Jesus. And again, what do we know about ambassadors? They're in a foreign nation, but they are not subject to. They are subject to represent the kingdom of which they are heralding from. Hallelujah. I'm here to represent Christ in the earth. I live as Christ in the earth. Hallelujah. Again, I'm in this world, but I live according to heaven's government. I'm answerable to heaven's government. Here in this earth, I have diplomatic immunity. Sickness and disease does not apply to me. Poverty and lack does not apply to me. That's not my kingdom. That's not my source. This earth is not my source. God is my source. He's already said, I'll meet and supply all of your needs according to my riches. Where? In glory. How? By Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I have everything I need. This church has everything it needs. You have everything you need with much left over. 2 Corinthians 9:8 guarantees it. All grace is able to come to you in abundance, so that you might always, under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough, that you don't need any outside aid or support. And in fact, he says, you'll have enough left over to be a blessing to everybody else. Hallelujah to Jesus. That is who you live from. Amen. That is where we're living out of. Praise God. So again, last week we laid this foundation, looking at, again, we're really digging into the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. Hallelujah. You know, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, and help us increase our faith. And he says, if you'll just take faith the size of a mustard seed and plant it, it'll grow up. So we're not praying to God, give me more faith. No, we're just learning to use the faith we got. And if you'll start walking and living by faith, you know, we can grow up and mature in our faith. But you got to start somewhere. So just start wherever you are. Sow that mustard seed, sow that grape seed, sow whatever you got. Amen. But watch it grow. Watch it grow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, we laid the foundation. The God kind of faith begins with knowing what Christ has already done. So we saw that we've been qualified, rescued, redeemed, and transferred into the kingdom. We also discovered that faith doesn't start with our effort. Glory to God. It starts with his finished work. We're not trying to get victory. No, I start from the place of victory, and I just walk out that victory by faith. Again, we don't fight for victory. We fight from the victory he's already secured. But this week, we're going to take the next step. So again, these are steps of faith that we are learning to take. And again, the God kind of faith knows what Christ has done. And if we know that what he has done, then the God kind of faith in corresponding action is now going to speak. It's going to act on that. And it's now going to walk out that victory that Christ has accomplished for us. In this moment, revelation knowledge will now become your natural confession. I'm not trying to work something up. I'm not trying to make something happen. Jesus said, John 8:32, you will know. This will have an understanding, an experiential knowledge. You're going to know the truth. Again, what is truth? Thy word is truth. You're going to know and understand salvation. When you're going to come to know and understand divine healing, you're going to come to know and understand that I'm your provider, I'm your source. He says, and when you know this truth, that truth will set you free. That truth will set you free. That's what the word is designed to do. So again, out of that revelation knowledge, again, Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And if I can get you to say it, if I can get you agreeing with it, in particular, when you have the faith of God behind it, it'll work for you the same as it works for me, because that's just how it works. Again, the word didn't work for Jesus in his earthly ministry because he was Jesus. It worked for him because it was the word doing the work, but it had his faith behind it, releasing it. We see the same thing happen through the apostles, through the disciples, the exact same process when they would get into alignment with God, when they would know this truth. So again, Peter and John at the beautiful gate, Jesus has ascended. There's the man, he's lame from his mother's womb. And Peter looks at him and says, hey, such as I have, what did he have? Revelation knowledge. He had revelation knowledge. He says, such as I have, give I unto you in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And so he just reaches out. His faith reaches out, grabs the man, declares healing over this man, and raises him up. What did he have? He had revelation knowledge of the name of Jesus. He had revelation knowledge of the healer within him. He had knowledge that this is what the Lord has shown me to do today with this man, and this is how he operated. Jesus operated the exact same way. Again, these are models. These are examples for us to follow. None of these things have passed away. Again, the church for centuries has tried to explain away, well, I prayed and they didn't get healed, so I guess healing has passed away. I guess tongues have passed away. I guess this, that, and the other has passed away because, well, we prayed and we asked and it just didn't happen. Well, no, it came due to a lack of knowledge. And a lack of knowledge led to a lack of faith, which led to a lack of no results, right? But we're here to bring the church back. Hey, man, these things have not passed away. You know, there's always been a remnant in the earth who have been walking in all of these things all of these centuries. I've read about them. I've seen them. I've heard them, right? And it's been going on. But far too many of the church has just kind of laid these things aside and explained away. No, I'm here to tell you, tongues is for every believer. You know, healing is for every believer. Having your bills paid, having your needs met is for every believer. Living in divine peace is for every believer. Why? Because he's the Prince of Peace. And if I'm in Christ, he's in me, then I have peace. I just need to learn how to renew my mind to the peace of God that is in me and live according to that peace. Again, this is not trying to get peace from out here to try to bring it inside. No, I'm activating what's already inside and seeing it manifest in this natural realm. All the healing you ever need already lives in you. There's nothing more God needs to do to heal your body. Nothing. He's already paid the price. Jesus has already come. He's already been that sacrifice, right? So there's no point in me praying to God, please heal me, please heal me, please heal me. You know, he and Jesus are sitting there right now on the throne, side by side, by my stripes, you're healed. Oh, God, please, by my stripes, you're healed. Oh, God, won't you just do it? Oh, touch me just now, by my stripes, you're healed. He hasn't changed his confession. He's saying the same thing. We just need to tune in and say, by my stripes, I'm healed. I read that in my Bible. By his stripes, I'm healed. Because again, he's not changing his confession. He's saying the exact same thing. Every time you say something like that, he's just repeating back to you what he's already done. By my stripes, Rodney, you're healed. By my stripes, Rodney, you're healed. Yes, sir. Amen. I received that. Thank you very much. Aha. Now I'm holding fast to my confession and receiving and walking that out. So again, revelation becomes confession. Our identity in Christ becomes authority. Aha. Which becomes our responsibility. So again, just contrasting last week to this week. Last week showed us where we now live in the kingdom. Today, we're going to be looking at how we're to live, which is to speak, enforce, and walk in that kingdom reality. So first thing I want to look at is to declare what the blood has accomplished. We're to be speaking what the blood of Christ has accomplished. So again, last week we received communion. Yes. You know, and he said, as often as you do these, do it in remembrance. So the blood and the body, both of those things are highly significant, and they have accomplished something for us. So again, speak what the blood has accomplished. We find this in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11 here in our notes. He says, and I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority. Oh, the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, he who accuses them day and night before our God. You know, the devil's on the job. He's on the job day and night, accusing and accusing and accusing and accusing. You know, and it's not just him. Every demonic spirit, they are accusing. They're trying to get in your thoughts. You old dirty, you old nasty, old not. I mean, they'll just day and night. And if you don't tell them to hush and get out of here, they'll run you ragged. You know, no, in the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. That's enough. So again, he, the accuser of our brothers, or we could say the saints, or you could say you and I, just put you in there, has been thrown down. He had some authority, but he has been thrown down. He's been cast down. they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so as to shy away from death. No, they took their stand and said, I'm not going to move off my stance. I don't care if it costs me everything. I'm going to stand right here and tell you, devil, where to go. I'm not putting up with it. So again, not that you necessarily have to die. That's not the implication. Although that there have been times. There has been times, and we can read about those. We see that. But that's not necessarily what he is saying here. What he is saying, I'm going to take my stand no matter what. I'm not moving off this position. Devil, you are a liar. You are defeated. You have been cast down. You have no authority. But now has come the authority of Christ, and I am Christ in this earth. I am Christ in the earth. I am his ambassador. He is the head. I'm his body, but we're all one. It's the same spirit. It's the same name of Jesus. Every bit of it. It's the same. I'm a joint heir, the scripture says, with Christ. I'm here to enforce the victory that Christ has already won. And this is how you do it. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. I'm testifying to what the blood has accomplished. So again, number one, the blood is the source of your victory. The blood is the source of your victory. Again, the accuser, the devil, has been cast down. His kingdom has been broken. His authority has been shattered. He can't just come and say, you know what? Cancer, boom, put it on you. Death, put it on you. Poverty, I'm going to steal all your money. I'm going to kill you today. He can't come and just do that. He doesn't have that authority. He doesn't have the power and the ability to do it. All he has is accusations. all he can do is come around and suggest and try to hit you with a thought, try to hit you with a thought. He'll bring so-and-so here over, you know, to try to, you know, yeah, this and that and the other. No. That's all he has. Smokescreen. He doesn't actually have real power. There was a time, but he doesn't have real power. His authority has been broken. But even furthermore, his authority has been absolutely demolished when I was transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Oh, yeah. Now I'm walking in kingdom authority. Now I'm operating from the name of Jesus, which is the most high name in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, in this age and in the ages to come. The name of Jesus is going to reign supreme, and I have power of attorney to use it right now. But with that power of attorney, I have a responsibility to use it. I can't just be passive. I have to do this. So again, we overcome two ways: by the blood of the Lamb, which is the source, and the word of my testimony, which is to enforce what the blood has accomplished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23, here in our notes. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain of his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us, say that's me, hold fast or hold resolutely to the hope we profess or confess, for he who promised is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. His character is faithful. His word is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He cannot, he will not ever change. He is faithful. So he's, what is he saying? When you'll come to me in faith on the basis of my word won't fail you. My word won't fail you. Question is, will you fail? But I won't fail. If you'll hold fast, if you'll hold resolutely to it, it'll come to pass every single time because I'm faithful. God has sworn, he says, he swore by himself when he could find no one greater. I'm faithful to my word. I'm faithful to my word. So in the natural, again, I've been around a few years. In the natural, a lot of times, well, I prayed and I fasted and I did this and I didn't that, and it just didn't work. You know, this faith business, I just don't understand it. It just don't work. No, the word tried you and you were found unfaithful. That's a hard saying, but it's true. I want to help us. I want to help us in this. Those of you watching, I want to help us in this. God is faithful. If it didn't come to pass, the when and the how and the where and all these things, it's not because God was somehow unfaithful. It's not because his word has passed away. It came to do because of a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge led to a lack of faith, which led to not getting the desired result that you thought. And there's a lot of other factors, and I don't want to get into all that. A lot of times people are just simply defeated by time. You know, we live in this, you know, internet Google generation. Ask a question in 2.3 seconds, you've got 5 billion responses, you know. And people a lot of times, well, I prayed and it didn't happen instantly. I guess it just wasn't God's will. I guess, you know, he's not listening. He don't care or any number of things. And it's like, you know, that's one of them. You know, that's one of them. I would encourage you, you know, if you've been praying, you've been standing, you know, again, God's faithful. So if anybody's missed it here, Rodney's the one that's missed it. And Rodney, if he will get before the Lord, and just ask him and get quiet. Say, Lord, something's going on. I see the word. I know what ought to be. I see what's happening over here. Help me. Help me. Come to him in humility. He'll help you. God gives grace to the humble. If you'll come to him in faith, he'll show you. He'll speak to your heart. He'll send someone across your path. He'll show, lead you to a scripture. He'll lead you to a church. He'll do something. He will do his part to lead you, to help you get the help you need. Amen. But God's faithful. I've decided that a long time ago. God's faithful. I trust in the integrity of God's word. Now, there's plenty of things over the years I had come along and I had to grow in some things I didn't understand. You know, and I don't say that I sit here and understand and know everything perfectly. I've not yet arrived, and I will never arrive this side of glory. And even in the ages to come, we're going to keep learning. We're going to keep growing and discovering. Again, we're not just going to get to heaven and all of a sudden just know everything perfectly the way God sees and knows it. No, that's the beauty of it. He's going to unfold it to us throughout time. And he is infinite. He is infinite in all of his ways. We have so much to look forward to. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to unpack this just a little bit. He says, therefore, brother, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. This word confidence is the word parousia. It means boldness. It means freedom of speech. Or it means unreserved or unreserved utterance. It says, brother, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place. So again, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, what gave us that access? He tells you, by the blood. By the blood of Jesus, you have been made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin was made to be sin, not with his sin. He didn't have any. He was made sin with all of your sin, past, present, future, all of my sin, the sin of the whole world, past, present, future. He was made to be sin with that sin. Why? So that I, who knew no righteousness, could be made righteous with his righteousness. So by the blood of the Lamb, I can have confidence to come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, I missed it by a mile this morning. But I can come boldly to the throne of grace. I may have some sin in my life that I need to repent of, but I still have access to the throne of God, the most holy of holies, because of the blood. When you enter into that place, you're entering in really with, covered in the blood of Jesus. When God sees you, he sees you through the blood. And he says, I can look at you through the blood of Christ, which is in heaven. So what you saw, we've been reading our Bibles and we've been going through Genesis and Exodus and on through. And so we've been seeing how the temple was constructed out there in the wilderness, and they had the outer court and the inner court and the most holy of holies, right? Huh. We can enter into that most holy place anytime, day or night, because of the blood of Christ. And we can come right up and run into Daddy's lap and say, Daddy, you know I'm not informing you of anything here, but I want to confess this and get out of my life. And I repent of that. And now I'm asking you, and I'm receiving the grace to help me to live free from it. What gave you access? The blood. The blood. So when we make a mistake, when we have a situation, when we have a need, we run to Daddy. We run to him, not from him. Haha. Thank you, Jesus. And we can do it because of the blood. So again, the blood of Jesus is the basis for our authority, our access, and our confession. Again, the blood doesn't just give access. It gives us boldness to declare the victory that we have now in Christ. It gives me boldness. When I see and know what the blood has accomplished, and when I know that blood has been applied to my life, again, you're going to miss it in your flesh. But in your spirit, man, you are covered in the blood of Jesus eternally. That's you, an eternal position. I'm in Christ, and I'm covered in the blood eternally. Yes, I might miss it in my flesh, And yes, if I don't repent of this, this can cause destruction in my life and in my flesh. But my spirit man is still intact. Again, you are a spirit. You have a soul made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And at present, you live in a physical body. I want to encourage you. If you got, I can feel questions. We taught on a series. It's on our website. It's on YouTube called The Foundations of Faith. There is a one message in there that we taught on the subject of sanctification or what it means to be sanctified. I want to encourage you. Those questions, you'll find answers to them there. You'll find answers to them there. Praise God. That's a whole message unto itself, and we're not going to preach it today. Hallelujah. But the blood gives you the right to speak with kingdom authority. Again, it gives you the right. But what you'll come to realize, everything that you have a right to do, that God has, these God-given rights, these are God-given responsibilities. Right? If I'm going to empower you, if I'm going to give you revelation knowledge about something, I'm going to hold you responsible for walking in the light of it. Don't go and take don't go take this and hide it under a table, right? He says, no, it needs to be out here in the light. You need to live according to this light. Again, Romans 1:17, the just or the justified, they shall live by faith. Living by faith is a lifestyle. This is how God lives. This is how the sons of God live, by faith. Declaring the word, speaking the word, and expecting every word to come to pass, because God's the one who's backing every word. Thank you, Jesus. The just shall live by faith. This next word I want to look at is the word hold. This word is katecho. It means to hold fast. It means to hold fast. So again, we have confidence by the blood. Praise God. We go on here having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast or hold resolutely to this hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Again, hold is the word katecho, to hold fast. It means to possess. It means to retain, to seize on, to stay, or to take. I was meditating on this, and the Lord prompted me, you know, when you got married, I think a lot of us are married, you know, and this is very common marriage vows to have and to hold. This is so this phrase dates back to 1549, where the King James Bible was written in the first decade of the 1600s, just, you know, 50 years later from this. And so when the King James writers were writing this, they had that same understanding. As a husband and a wife, we're here to have and to hold as one flesh. This is a very intimate thing. I'm holding on to you, honey. You're holding on to me. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. It has all of this in reference and in understanding. So the hold represents a vow, which means to cherish, to tend to protect one another. It is a term of intimacy that says we will hold fast together as one, no matter what storms may come. So again, Paul, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but the writer of Hebrews says, let us hold. What am I holding on to? My profession, my confession. But what's interesting here, I found this, I love finding stuff like this. This next word in Greek is translated resolutely, but it's the word aklanēs. It means not leaning, without wavering. It means to be determined or to be resolved. I am absolutely resolved. I'm absolutely settled. I'm not going to be moved. But what's interesting is this word appears only one time in the Bible. So again, as we know, you know, the writer, you know, is turning to Greek and Hebrew terms to try to find, you know, ways of trying to describe, or in this case, he adds the word. So you already had the word hold, which means I'm holding fast. I'm not going to turn loose to having to hold. I'm not letting go. But for emphasis, he adds this word. He only does it this one other time. Resolutely or aklanēs, I'm not leaning, I'm not wavering, I am determined, I am resolved, praise God. And it pictures a stance that will not bend, tilt, give up, or break under pressure. That's me. That's you. Praise God. Again, it pictures a believer holding a position so steady that no external force, persecution, doubt, or delay can incline or move the confession of hope even slightly from its intended alignment. Of course, that paints the picture of Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the whole armor of God. And then he says, having done all to stand, what you going to do? Stand. What else you going to do? There's nothing else to consider. I'm going to stand on this word, come hell or high water. I'm not moving off this rock. And what is that rock? I'm not moving off this word. I'm holding fast to my confession of faith. I don't matter what. Well, it just sure, I've been standing and I just don't see it coming to pass. I just don't see nothing working. I guess God's unfaithful. I guess this, that. No, I'm not even considered. I'm not thinking about it. I'm hooked up, having in the hold. I'm hooked up to the word of God, just like I'm hooked up to my wife. We ain't turning loose of this thing, right? That we are settled. We are resolved. We are resolute. God can do anything but fail. Hallelujah. And if I die, I die, but I'm going to die standing. Glory to God. The next face I see will be Jesus on the other side. And Jesus, I was standing for all I knew. Son, I know maybe there's a part you didn't know, but either way, I'm going to stand, I'm going to live, I'm going to fight. And if I die, I die, but I'm going to do it in faith. Every step of the way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The blood settles the matter. God has settled the issue. The blood is speaking and letting you know this has been resolved, this has been settled, and now my confession holds fast when I realize, when I have that revelation knowledge, when I know that truth, I can rest. I can rest. Yes, I'm standing, but really I'm just resting. The word's doing the work. God, you've already won this battle. You've already fought the fight. You've already defeated death, hell, and the grave. You've already defeated sickness and disease. You've already defeated poverty and lack. You've defeated every devil I could ever encounter. They're already whipped. He already told you. He said they have already been cast down. The accuser of your brother. Now, he's still on the job. He's still accusing. He's been cast down. He's been defeated, in other words. But now comes the authority of Christ. And if I'll stand in my authority, I'll rule and reign in life. Romans 5:17 says, we will reign in this life. How? By one Jesus Christ. Through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, we're going to reign. Not get rained on. No, no, no. Praise God. The blood settles the matter, so my confession stays settled, resting in the finished works of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else to consider. I've already resolved the issue. Now, just as check up here, what do you say when the pressure is on? Even before you have a chance to even think about your response, when a situation arises, does something come out of your mouth? What is it? Is it faith? Is it the word? Or is it something else? When you have free time, where is your mind drifting off to? When you get that evil report from the doctor, not against doctors, thank God for doctors, we bless them, we're all working towards the same end, and you know, to be healed and whole, but they're there. They're going to tell you what is true. Unless you have a spirit-filled doctor, they're probably not going to tell you the truth, but they're there to tell you what's true. Right? If that report should come, well, what's your response? Just thinking about it. What's your response? Well, I best have, let me go over here on the internet. Let me get three other doctors and let's go examine, you know, and all of these things and on and on. Again, I'm not saying don't consider those things in that regard. I'm not saying I'm not acknowledging that report is not true. I just reject its authority to continue in my life or in my body. right? I acknowledge truth. I know what you said is true. I'm not discounting that, but I consider God. I consider the word, and I received that by his stripes I was healed. And now I'm coming to the Lord and asking him for his counsel. The perfect will of God is for you to live in divine healing, that you'll never get sick a day in your life. Jesus demonstrates it. Everywhere he encounters sickness and disease, they are healed. He never gets the flu. He never got leprosy or anything else. Lepers got healed. That is God's perfect will. Now, as you kind of backtrack a little bit, we are where we are. And everybody is always going to be at a different level of faith. This takes time to develop. God knows where you are, and when you will go with him in faith, he'll give you the plan for where you're at as to how to walk out the victory. How to walk out. So again, it may involve having surgery. It may involve this. It may involve that. Right? Just work with him. Work with him. Let him lead you. Let him guide you by his spirit to see the end result of healing. God wants you healed. I've been saved so I can serve the kingdom. I'm healed so I can serve the kingdom. You know? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to teach more on healing in the days to come. I know we have in the past, but the Lord, we're going to do that soon, Lord willing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Looking at these passages of Scripture, again, these passages reveal to us what overcomes the enemy, and that is the blood of Christ, and how we participate in Christ's victory that his blood has accomplished. Again, the blood gives us the victory. Our confession enforces the victory. Without knowledge of the blood, without knowledge of what has been given to you, without knowledge of the access that you have because of the blood, well, if you don't have knowledge, again, faith begins where the will of God is known. If I don't know these things, then I can't walk in the light of it. I won't speak it out of my mouth, at least not with any faith behind it. But again, the blood gives us the victory. Our confession enforces the victory. Again, they're just things to remember. Heaven has declared the accuser defeated. Now we must declare that same verdict in the earth. Satan, you are defeated. You have no rights to be in or on God's property. Take your hands off. Get out in Jesus' name. Don't you ever come back. Let me tell you about my healing. Let me tell you what the blood has accomplished. By his stripes, I was healed. And I'm going to live in health all the days of my life. And this moment forward, sickness and disease is no part of mine. I've been transferred out of the kingdom of sickness and disease and into the kingdom of divine healing. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Silence is agreement with the enemy. Confessing the word of God is to agree with God. Silence is not an option. By default, we live in this broken, fallen world. If we're just going to stay silent, the enemy's going to have his way in your life and in your household. You have to rise up in the name of Jesus and override what's trying to come at you. Again, he's accusing you. He's bringing thoughts. He's bringing temptations and accusations all day long, and he will surround you with this. This will be the atmosphere unless you rise up and say, in Jesus' name, not in this temple, not in this household. We're getting all this other trash out of here, and we're focusing on Jesus. We're focusing on truth, and I'm going to live in truth. I'm going to live in days of heaven on the earth. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the Father's will to have heaven on the earth. How's it going to come? Your testimony. The blood's given you the victory. The blood's given you the legal access. As an ambassador of Christ, I'm here to not just represent Christ. I'm here to bring the kingdom of heaven into this earth. Is there any sickness and disease in heaven? No. So guess what? I'm here to not just live in divine healing. He says, you go lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Now I'm bringing heaven to this earth. Ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Meditate on these things. When you see these things in Scripture, meditate on it. If you've spent years, decades living in sickness and disease, meditate on the Word. Meditate on it. By His stripes I'm healed. By His stripes I'm healed. By His stripes I'm healed. What would it look like to not have to, you know, go to the doctor every week? What would it look like not to have to take all these pills and injections and whatever it is? What would it look like? Start seeing yourself the way God sees it. By His stripes I'm healed. I don't need any of that. I don't have to go spend all my money, my time doing all that. But what am I going to do now with all this free time? Let the Lord show you. My purpose is not to make the doctor rich. That's not your purpose. My purpose is not to have something else demanding all my time and attention and resources. That's not why I'm here. I'm here for kingdom purpose. Now let Him reveal that to you. Aha. And as He paints that picture, start declaring it. Yes, I see it. I'm coming to know this truth. I'm beginning to see myself the way you see me. I'm beginning to see what I'm called to do in this earth, and now I'm getting about Father's business. Again, Father's business is not you running here and there and tossed to and fro, right? Ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Speak redemption, speak freedom, speak victory. Your testimony is what activates what the blood has already made available. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, we have more notes, but we're not going to get to them today. Unless y'all want to stay another hour or two. Glory to God. Well, let's all stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of today? So again, we've been talking about the blood of Jesus. We have seen how we have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness. Sin, all of the effects of sin, no longer have authority to rule and reign in our lives. We've been transferred into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we've been redeemed. I'm redeemed from the curse. I'm redeemed from poverty and lack. I'm redeemed from sickness and disease. And now I live according to Heaven's program. I've got new programming in the kingdom of God. I have a whole new government system I live from. I have a whole new source I live from, and it's blessed, it's healed, it's victorious in every way, spirit, soul, body, socially, and financially. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I always want to close with this. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I love that because there's a period on the end of that sentence. There's no if and or and until and no. If you'll call on the name of Jesus, if you'll confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior over your life, you shall. You will be saved. Amen. He did all the work. The blood of Jesus paid all the sin price. We just enter in. Praise God by faith. I have faith in the blood. So again, yes. Same concept. I have faith in what the blood of Jesus has accomplished where sin is concerned, and now I make confession unto that victory, and with that victory, I'm saved. If you can get saved with something as simple as that, you can get healed just as easy. You can get your bills paid just as easy. You can have peace in your soul just as easy, but it starts right there. It starts right there, and everything else in the kingdom of God will always work the exact same way. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, I can receive it all. Right now in this earth, in this time, it belongs to me. It already belongs to you. Ha ha. Praise God. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus is the Christ, and He is your Son. Jesus, I believe that your blood was shed for me at Calvary. It has washed away all of my sin. past, present, and future, I confess you now as my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life. Do something wonderful with it. Amen. Praise God. We believe, according to the Word of God, that if you pray that prayer for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God. You are transferred out of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. You are now a resident, a kingdom citizen, now and for all of eternity. Now, I would encourage you, wherever you are, go find you a Bible-based church where they are preaching the uncompromised Word of God. Go be intensely discipled in that Word and live victoriously and reign in life by one Jesus Christ, in which He has called us to do. Praise God. Until next Sunday, know this, God loves you, we love you, and in Him we are living in victory.